Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words from your Holy Scripture this morning, words of Jesus that may be familiar for some of us and may be brand new for others of us, but Jesus talking about going someplace and the disciples not fully understanding. And Lord, we must confess that at times we don't fully understand our faith either in what you call us to be doing. Lord, we pray that in these moments together that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a word from you, that it may be clear and be able easily understood, that it may help us in our daily living. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're now in the midst of the busy summer travel season, and some of you may have already taken a vacation, and while others of you may be looking forward to a trip sometime soon, we already heard about a couple trips taking place this week. Print and online news sources have featured tips about how to take the terror out of travel, especially airplane travel. The discussion is no longer about how to make travel a fun and enjoyable experience. Those days are pretty much gone. What we want to do is figure out how to mitigate the unpleasantness. Generally, experts agree that when planning to travel, five concerns come into play: the day of the week, the time of the day, the time of the year, if it happens to be near a holiday, and the destination. And that's especially, again, for flying someplace. But in this morning's scripture, Jesus is making some travel plans, and he's just now sharing these plans with his disciples. Like us, he too wants to take the terror out of travel. And thus his opening words recorded in the chapter 14 are, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Words that we do not be afraid we often hear, but let not your hearts be troubled. Those are good words for any of us who are headed to the airport or on the road or planning a journey by train or ship. Jesus is saying, look, fellas, I'm going away. Here's what you need to know, because someday you'll be taking this trip too. And then he talks about their trip. Jesus is sort of like a tour leader who has arranged everything, is going ahead to ensure that everything is up to snuff before the arrival of the group. So I want us this morning to consider five points that Jesus covers in his travel instructions. And it's not the ones that I said earlier about that travel experts suggested. These are some other ones that pertain to today's scripture. The first one, the first instruction is about the destination. We may be questioning, well, where are we going? And Jesus answers this question in three ways. First, he says that he and later his disciples is going to my Father's house. Okay? So zooming in a little bit closer on that, he identifies a location within my Father's house as a dwelling place or a mansion or many rooms, depending on which version, which translation we're using. But in other words, that Jesus is saying that where he is going and where the disciples will someday go is a place where one lives. The destination is a place to live. So that's the second part that he talks about, the destination. The third part, the third description, is really not very descriptive at all. But the destination is just called a place. So from all three of those answers, we really don't get much information about our destination. Clearly, the expression, my Father's house, is a metaphor. I don't think that there are all these castles in the sky that we're destined to live in at some point. But yet the implication is very clear from Jesus' words. The place where Jesus is going is a place to live and reside. It's not a place to be dead, but to be alive. Jesus is going to his Father's house. In other words, he is going home. And this is why the disciples should feel comforted and we should also. Jesus is going home, and someday the disciples and all of us will likewise be going to the Father's house. We too will be, in a great sense, going home. But there's another nuance at work as we try to answer the questions, where are we going? Ultimately, our destination is God. Not necessarily God's house, but God himself. The second part of verse 6 says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." In the last half of today's scripture, verses 7 through 14, is all about who the Father is in relationship to Jesus. When we talk about our future destination, it comes down to this reality. We are going to God. We are going to live and dwell and have our eternal being in the presence of God. This is why we should not be troubled. Believe in God. We believe also in Jesus. Moving on past the destination, we move to the second point of Jesus' travel instructions, and that deals with the travel agent. Who is making the arrangements for us, or are we doing it on our own? Jesus says that he's doing that, that he's in the details, that he has everything covered. If we're taking an extended trip visiting several countries, we need someone to take care of all those arrangements. We have rooms to book, rental cars to arrange, flights to schedule, sights to see, museum fees to pay. Someone has to do all of that. A good tour guide or a travel agent is essential. Perhaps you have handled these details in the past. How did it work out for you? Was it great? Or did you wish somebody else had made all the arrangements ahead of time and said, never again will I do it myself? Jesus is handling all these details for us on our journey to heaven. You believe in God, he says. Believe also in me. He reminds us that he's been communicating with us all along. If it were not so, would I have told you? Would I have told you about this? He describes his role as someone going ahead to make preparations. When it comes to their eternal destination, the disciples must trust in Jesus. We just sang about trusting in Jesus. They must believe that Jesus is the advance man to make sure that everything is ready. We no doubt have a ton of questions about this journey. Quite frankly, it may be quite scary for some of us because we aren't really sure, you know, what the journey is like and what the destination is all about. But not to worry, Jesus says, for he is personally handling all the travel plans. Then we move on to Jesus' third instruction that deals with the accommodations. What are the rooms like? Whether we have physical rooms in heaven or metaphorical rooms, but what is it like there? Jesus describes them as being prepared. In your travels, have you noticed differences in the preparations of hotel and motel rooms? At the fancy places, perhaps the five-star hotels, we're going to get a fruit basket, perhaps a handwritten note from the general manager, a mint on the pillow, turn-down service, an iron and ironing board, coffee maker, free Wi-Fi, a desk, a comfortable upholstered chair, king-size bed, subdued lighting, and you could add to the list whatever you've experienced. But if we're stopping at the no-name motel along the side of the road, the rooms might not be quite as prepared. We may feel we need a package of paper towels and a bottle of spray disinfectant before we even consider staying in a room there. Our eternal accommodations will be prepared. And of course, we're still speaking metaphorically here, but the reality is always larger and better than the sign advertising it. So this prepared dwelling place is going to be wonderful. It's not only going to meet the expectations, it's going to exceed expectations beyond our wildest imaginations. No need, therefore, for our hearts to be troubled about the accommodations. And the fourth point on Jesus' travel instructions from our scripture today deals with the directions. Then how are we going to get there? Well, we should already know how to get there. Jesus says that to the disciples and tells them they know the way to the place where I am going. But Thomas, and we often call him Doubting Thomas because of his not acceptance of the disciples' words of Jesus being resurrected from the dead, but Thomas often was the one that asked the questions that probably everybody else was asking in the room but was afraid to say. But Thomas, speaking up for the rest of the disciples, says that they don't even know the destination. So how can they know the directions to an unknown destination? Clearly, someone had not been paying attention, Jesus feels. But Jesus' answer is classic and one of the most well-known of all the gospel texts. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's like if we were going off to a strange, off the beaten path location, someone asks us, how are we going to get there? We could answer, "I have no clue, but Bob's going with me, and he knows the way. And actually, Bob is the way. As long as I don't lose Bob, I don't have anything to worry about." Jesus is the way. Jesus is all the direction that we need. Our journey to our eternal destination is already underway. And even now, today, as we struggle to love someone who makes it very difficult to love, as we struggle to lift up the needy or provide comfort to those who are sorrowing, we may not know how to get to where we're supposed to be. But Jesus is our guide. He is our model. He is our template of how we should live. He is our sense of direction. Jesus is that like pulsating blue dot on our GPS screen that shows us where we are. There's no need to be troubled about the directions because Jesus is our guide. And the fifth and final point of Jesus' travel instructions deals with the welcome party. Who's going to be there to meet us when we get there? In truth, we don't know who's going to meet us exactly. Some say St. Peter, but it's an interesting travel question. We usually want to know what's going to happen upon arrival. The Bible says the angels rejoice when one sinner repents. Perhaps we can gain insight from Jesus' parable about the prodigal son. Recall in that parable that when the son who had asked for his inheritance early and then squandered it, when he tires of his wasted life and lustful living and runs out of cash and is basically jobless and homeless, he doesn't say, "Hey, I'll go back to my house." And he doesn't say, "I should go back to my boyhood home." He says, "I will get up and go to my father." Who's going to meet us in heaven? The Father, of course. We go back to the parable of the prodigal son. So the boy, or the young man, set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. If the father of this story runs to meet his long-lost child, how much more will our Heavenly Father be there to greet us as we reach our eternal destination? And then the celebration will begin. We should not lose sight of the fact that none of this is possible unless Jesus goes away from the text this morning. That is what Jesus is trying to explain to his disciples in this chapter in the Gospel of John. Jesus is going to his Father's house, but he is going by the way of the cross. That little pulsating blow dot on our metaphorical GPS system of life is a pulsating red cross. This is our guidance and reference point, the cross of Christ. Because of the cross, we will someday have a crown. Because of the cross, we will someday enter the kingdom. because of the cross, we can know Christ, who enables us to have eternal life. So there is no need for troubled hearts. We do not need to worry about travel plans. It's covered by Jesus Christ through the cross and the empty tomb. I want us to pray now, and I'm going to use the words that are attributed to St. Brendan the Voyager, who lived in the 6th century. Let's pray together. God bless to us this day. God bless to us this night. Bless, O bless thou God of grace, each day and hour of our life. Bless, O bless thou God of grace, each day and hour of our life. God bless the pathway on which we go. God bless the earth that is beneath our soul. Bless, O God, and give to us thy love. O God of gods, bless our rest and our repose. Bless, O God, and give to us thy love. And bless, O God of gods, our repose. Amen.